All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to call this meeting to order. And first order of business, if we could all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, well, thank you. With that, we'll go around the table for introductions and roll call. So, Joseph, we'll start with you.
Good afternoon. Joseph Rogan, Chair of Jacksonville Ethics Commission.
Charlie Kofer, Public Defender.
Sam Lusa, Jacksonville's Chief Administrative Officer.
Aaron Bowman, City Council, District 3.
Julie Taylor, Court Counsel, 4th Judicial Circuit.
Lee Hutton with the State Attorney's Office.
All right, thank you. And since we have a small crowd out there, I'll ask for introductions out in the crowd, too, please. So, sir, start with you.
I'm John Robert from CPAC 2 and a member of the
team. Thank you.
Kirby Eberdorfer, Deputy Director of the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight.
Anita Holt, Executive Assistant for the Election.
Robert Lesnar, Investigator with the Office of Inspector General.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you all for taking your time out on your schedules. I know it's a busy time of the year, so I appreciate that. And with that, we'll start with, I think everybody's got the book. So if you go to the first tab, it will be the minutes from the last meeting of almost a year ago. And with that, I'll be looking for a motion.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. By your actions, we've approved the minutes of June 19, 2018. Now we'll start going through our new business. And first item for action is, do we have any public comments? Seeing none, we will skip over to tab B, 6-month update on Office of Inspector General comments. So, Ms. Green, I believe that goes to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and committee members. On behalf of the office, I present to you today the 6-month activity update. The first thing that I want to point out is I decided that you all needed a resource book for the position so that when different people pass on, the book can be passed on and we can decide, you can decide, do you want us to maintain the integrity of them or do you want to have them for yourselves? But there should be everything in there that you would need, and we're going to go through some of that today. The first thing I also want to say is that I'd like to start setting up a regular schedule. It had gotten off target with all the changes. April will be the meeting that will cover material from October 1st through March 31st. And we'd like to recommend November, if that's a good month for everybody, for the latter 6 months, which would then encompass the annual report. So would you then have a total year's picture at that time? Let's see.
So are you looking for a decision on that now? Or okay.
About that, okay. And we can decide. But that is what I'm envisioning, unless there's any objections. After I give the actual monthly update of the 6-month update, I do have additional updates on administrative and staffing and outreach, which I think is important to share at this time as well. So if you turn to tab 6 of your book, which is the purple one towards the back, you will find that is where I'm going to be referring to in the next few minutes. And prior to that, at tab 4, we issued our annual report within the last 6 months before the end of the year, and the majority of you did receive a hard copy. It was also posted online, but for those that did not receive the hard copy, that is why you have a hard copy. Some do and some don't. But the hard copy of the annual report is found in the book in tab 4. So with respect to tab 6, this is going to be very similar to the first two pages of our annual report, and we're going to try to keep it in this manner, and hopefully it has the information you need, and I'm open to any suggestions that you have in the event that you don't feel we're addressing the information. So So in the last 6 months, we've issued the annual report. In addition to that, we issued 4 total reports and inquiries. 2 were reports of investigation. 1 was a management review. The difference is the management review focuses on processes and procedures, where reports of investigations focus on a subject. These particular reports all pertain to the JEA employee-owned gyms, and we had 1 management inquiry that had to do with surplus items. Management inquiries go to the administration, and we present the facts that we have at that point. We feel it doesn't warrant a report of investigation, but rather an inquiry into the matter and then a response from the administration, and that's what we are referring to when we speak to a management inquiry. The terms that I'm also speaking to are all defined in the annual report. So of the recommendations, in the items that we've presented so far, 4 reports and a management inquiry, where there are recommendations, there have been 18 recommendations, and some of those are highlighted below. Basically, it's improving internal controls, issuing new policies, and we have had 100% compliance as far as acceptance of those recommendations by both the administration and JEA where it's applicable. And there are some that are still in progress because they're trying to develop and finalize some things. Most specifically, JEA is looking at what they're going to be doing with their 9 JEA employee-owned gyms that have had absolutely no oversight. And we had 2 employees that had stole money from their membership dues, and we are now looking at a potential 3rd.
Yes, please.
Did I hear you say they had 9 gyms?
Yes, sir. Various facilities. The primary gym is down here in the central one, but they're all at their other little sites, and some there's also some little splinter gyms. They're splintered off. So the management review, I did have a diagram in there. It actually showed the actual locations, and you can see where they're located. But they're making some major changes and trying to figure out what is best moving forward for the entire JEA staff. If you look down in the lower left, you'll see that one of these reports, which is actually one of the JEA employees, was arrested, involved in a deferred prosecution, 100 hours of community service, and some fines and restitution was recovered, as well as that individual has resigned. On the right-hand side, you'll see we still have 19 open ongoing investigations. We have them broken down by year, and of course we're trying to get the oldest ones done first, and we believe for a fact that 2015, the remaining investigation for the end of the fiscal year. And it is very substantive, so it's taking a little bit longer. It's 100 pages in draft. So I'm trying to get that done. On the next page, what I want you to know is that we have closed out, addressed 52 separate complaints. As you see, 28 were from the new ones we got during this fiscal year and on down, so and so. You can see where when we receive them and that these are being closed. So 52 items have been closed. And then down in the lower left there, that is the manner in which we close them. So if you see investigations unit activity, it might simply have been a preliminary review where we didn't need to open investigation. It might have resulted in a management inquiry. If we did a management referral, which goes to the administration, that is where we're sending things over that are operational in nature, and we are not anticipating a response back. So I know you're familiar with those. Handle and close is very simple things that just might be providing the client just simple information on contacting the right. So there's no real effort in that other than processing it through the consistent process that we have for intake. Contract oversight referral, those are 4 items that have been reviewed by our contract oversight individual, and they have been since closed. Non-jurisdictional referral, if we get items that are not within our purview, maybe they go to FDLE or JSO or state, we refer them out, and that's what those 2 of those were turned outward. And we've had the 1 in management inquiry. Upper right, to date, we've received 46 complaints in the fiscal year since October 1st. We have closed 61%, which equals 28. We still have 18 that we're still working on. Right below, I wanted you to see that over the course of our, since we've been organized, we've received 481 complaints. We have closed out 394 complaints. At the bottom, we have 87. So to date, we have 19 open investigations and 87 matters that we still have to review and do That is the summary of just the nuts and bolts of the numbers. What I also wanted you to know is that of note, we've had some major changes with staffing, which has contributed to no contributions in our audit in our contract site. During the calendar year 2018, we had 4 staff members turn over. Obviously, we know the IG turned over. We had an auditor turn over, not once, but twice, and once under one of those times was under my 6 months. And then we had the contract oversight person also turn over twice, and one of those was under mine. We have since replaced and hired an auditor and contract oversight, so I expect there will be some contribution by each of those departments in the moving forward, and I think they'll be good. The people that have left have all left for personal reasons, and that just wanted to put that out there. It was for personal reasons. Most of them moved out of state, believe it or not. So at resource tab 3, what I wanted to show you, I wanted to point out to you that as required by ordinance, within a 2-year period, I'm required to get the certified inspector general at tab 3.
At tab 2 or tab 3?
The actual tab 3. I'm outside of the agenda meeting. I'm into the backup documents. So tab 3, I did earn within the 6 months, I did earn my certified inspector general certification in accordance with my contract, in accordance with the ordinance code. The next document is copies of a fully executed contract that was issued to me subsequent to the ordinance appointment, and which is at the very, very back. The back one does not have any signatures, but the middle document has signatures. With the certification achievement, the salary in the contract, my salary was, according to the contract, to increase $10,000, and that has occurred. My appointment is a 4-year appointment from June 19th through June 18th of 2022. So next, I want you to turn, if you wouldn't mind, turning to tab 5 of your the supporting documents. This is where you're going to find all the administrative and the staffing information about the office. The very first tab is budget, which we're skipping right now. I would like you to turn to staffing. That's the second one under item 5. So what you'll find here is the long handout that folds out under staffing. This is a historical review of all the positions. Everything in red is the vacancies. I wanted you to see how things have progressed. You can see, just for an example, the timeline of the IGs and just as you go down the line, where we've had vacancies and who's filling those positions. This is just for historical reference. Yes, we do. We that's been my intention.
Ms. Green, so trying to catch up. Are you fully staffed right now? Are you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We have 9 full FTEs. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
After that is the organizational chart, just to give you an idea of, just so you're familiar with the structure, because it's easy to forget when you're not having the day-to-day interaction with our office. But what I wanted you to know that within the 6 months' time, Anita Oldham, she went from the part-time, after the budget was approved for this fiscal year, she went from a part-time and executive assistant to a full-time. We hired Mr. Linzer, who's here, who you met today. We've hired Mr. Bassett, the auditor, and Anjanae Taylor. And so that has all been accomplished in the last 6 months. So I wanted you also to see that in this book, every business card is here. If you need to get a hold of anyone at any time or refer us out, all the information you need is here. After that, we put together all the professional experience for everyone in the office so you can see what their backgrounds are and see that they're qualified to do the job. And after that is the city's individual specifications for each job. That concludes the staffing section of this resource material. Behind the staffing section is a bullet for accreditation, and that is our copy of our contract for accreditation. We did enter into an accreditation agreement under James Hoffman. We are going to go ahead and continue on with that process. However, I am seeking an extension. It was supposed to be fully completed by this October, but due to the staff changing and the turnover in IGs, I think it's appropriate that we extend it for a session We're going to, our goal is to get it accomplished by June of 2020. Miss Emily and I will be going before the commission. There is no cost to extend. I just have to explain the circumstances, which I will talk about staffing over changes. Also, what I want to do is just briefly summarize the, in the last six.
Ms. Green, could you please once again talk about this accreditation? Is this a requirement?
It's if the budget permits that it, the ordinance calls for accreditation, which is basically what that does. It keeps us consistent with the requirements. If the budget provides for it, and we have budgeted for it all along the way. No, sir. I think it's a goal. Now I'm going to just briefly tell you about the activities, the outreach activities. I know that's important to the City Council and to the other bodies, members of the committee. I have monthly meetings with the administration here at City Hall. Sam Musa and I meet, and we meet and we discuss, and I keep them abreast of things that are going on. I have quarterly meetings with one of the council members who's asked me to come in on a quarterly basis. We have bi-monthly meetings with JEA administration because we have an ongoing protocol that all of their ethics and hotline, not ethics, but their fraud, waste, and abuse hotline matters come into our office, are discussed with us, and then we have first right of refusal, so we've had consistency with how the things are coming into the hotline. My goal is to work with all the other independents and get the same similar protocol so that we're all having the same approach. I have had numerous meetings with directors in the city to include neighborhoods, parks and rec, finance. We did a leadership presentation yesterday before Kids Hope Alliance at their request. I met with the library director. I'm doing a leadership presentation at the director's request, and I've also been asked by JTA to come over and do a leadership presentation in the next. I've asked the staff, and between myself and the staff, that we attend as many outreach meetings as we can, which means city council meetings, and also any other meetings that are held, various board and commission meetings throughout the city. So you're going to see different people showing up at different times, True Commission, Ethics Commission, and any of the other boards and commissions that we think have a relevant some of the work that we're doing.
Ms. Green, excuse me just a second. So you said that your goal is to work with the other independent authorities, like you've got a relationship with JAA right now. Is that, do you need us to push on that at all, or are you being received well? Or
we have a good relationship. What I haven't been able to lock down is a written protocol, and that is my goal to accomplish before the end of the fiscal year. But if I'm not going to get it, I'm going to come forward and ask for some guidance, because I think it's important that if they all have an ethics hotline, the office is charged with fraud, waste, and abuse. We need to be the first right of refusal. We need to work with them and support them, but vice versa. So I want them trying to get it consistency. That is what's happened with JE. It's worked well. We've done it for a year and a half. I have good relationships, but we have some turnover with, like, the airport that I need to reach out. So I'm still in the process of trying to get that solidified.
And I know I certainly will, and won't speak for Mr. Musa, but I think we can be instrumental in helping you should you not achieve your goal. How's that sound?
I appreciate that. Yes, Councilman Danny Becton has asked me to meet quarterly, and so I meet with him quarterly, and I basically give him updates like this.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question there? Have you met with any of the other members of council in the term since you've been in?
Through the chair, I've met with everyone, I think, with the exception of one. At this point, I have a list. I met them before I got appointed, and then I have met with some others on an ad-need basis when they call. So I do try, but I also... I'm also not going to throw myself out. I try to make myself available. This presentation I do need to give to the City Council so they will also hear. Every time we send reports, we send to City Council. So I think the things that are going to be coming forward is I'm going to ask them, continue to ask them for any feedback and to reach out. So I'm opening the door.
Thank you.
So continuing on with meetings, the type of meetings in the last 6 months, we have built a much stronger relationship with OGC. I have a dedicated OGC individual, so that's been wonderful. We brought things, you know, of topic, and they brought things to us, which has led into work for our office. We regularly meet with other law enforcement partners as needed, including some of the larger federal ones, FBI. We also meet with FDLE. We also are part of a fraud prevention association, so we're meeting other peoples of the community, including bank officials and other investigators that are doing fraud, which probably tap over in some of the things that are being brought to your office, so we're working and so they know we're around. The state's attorney's office, of course, we have excellent relationship with them, and we talk with them quite often when we have a need, and I think we have been equally in regards to presentations in the last 6 months, we continue to do the monthly new employee orientation training. And like I mentioned, I have just did the Kids Hope Alliance leadership team yesterday. We have also done two presentations before international delegations, one being the Russian delegation and one being the Indian subcontinent delegation that came through as part of the global JACS, the nonprofit that promotes global leadership through Florida. So we focused with the Russian. They asked to know information about the Whistleblower Act in our office. We provided that, and we were well received with that. And then the Indian subcontinent delegation, their focus was on transparency, and I think that went very well, too. And I know that they meet with other members, ethics, and other members of the city as well. So we just did that recently. As far as accreditation conferences, in October and February, we attended the accreditation conference. They hold them 3 times a year, and that is for information on changes in the accreditation. There are standards which the office will be held bound by. We have about 42 individual criteria which we have to show policies, procedures, and proof that we're complying, and there are changes. During that meeting on the Wednesdays in the afternoon, there is a Inspector General meeting, which where we are representing the city at those meetings, and we interact with other county and state OIGs. So that's a very good networking opportunity, and so they're very well of the office here in Jacksonville. And then finally, I have made some significant recommendations and changes to the website. And so some of the things I realized when they, you know, when it was put up, I think it was great to be put up. But what we've tried to do, and I'm just not that you've, if you haven't had a chance, I welcome you to go look at it. We added I call them radio buttons, and that might be not the right term. But we added a button right up here at the top where they can click and report fraud, waste, and abuse, which goes directly to the reporting form, which directly comes to our office. We changed just casual words into buttons to make it easier. So if they wanted to look at our reports, they would click on read our reports. We just added today, it's live, is OIG in the news. So now you can go there and you can see videos that we link to and news articles of the cases, and the most recent ones are on the JE, and there's a very good video on the JE work, the work that was done on the last few investigations. So we are trying to make it more interesting, so the OIG news would look like this, and you can click on different things and go directly to the news articles as long as they're live, so we'll have to keep up on that. I changed the report cover. I made it more formal looking and more what I think should be is more presentable. So if you see in the first page, you'll see what appears to be more dramatic before the reports. And one of the things that we're going to be doing, we're going to be continuing updating the pamphlet. So at tab 7, I have to say all of my marketing and all of my special effects, young lady here, Miss Emily Edge and Miss Anita Oldham, very instrumental, and I'm telling you, without them, there's no way we could have all this because it's a lot of work, and I really appreciate that. So at tab 7, in the back, you'll see this is the marketing material, just to get an idea, and I know that we've asked everyone to put up these hotline posters, and I can tell you somebody actually called and said, because somebody tore it down, so that was interesting when somebody called to complain that somebody in our office took down the hotline, so that's back up. But I've even seen one in the city council, so I haven't seen one in the mayor's administration. I'm sure it is. Anyway, so we're going to continue, but moving... Maybe so. So one of the things that we're going to focus on is I think it's very important that what people bring to us they need to understand, because they don't really understand what fraud, waste, abuse is. So we're learning, we're giving them tools, and we're going to try to incorporate and update our pamphlet. So when we're training and we're presenting, we're giving them concepts of what fraud looks like, what abuse looks like, what waste looks like, so that they have takeaways. And this is what they're given in the new employee orientation and the other meetings that we talk about. So, you know, they'll say, well, if there's something about waste of resources, because we're also looking at economy and efficiency, if there's duplication of procedures, you know, maybe there is a close relationship between an employee and a contractor, and all of a sudden this employee is driving around in this, you know, whatever, this high fancy car. And yesterday they were driving a motorcycle. So we're giving them ideas. I think it's important that they come away with takeaways. So that's what we're going to be moving towards, the direction to make sure they understand what fraud, waste, and abuse is. Sometimes you just don't understand it. We are working on one other section. I'm going to get some feedback from the office first before we make it live, but it will be a feedback button, and that will be something on the website. It's different than the complaint button, but it's to get feedback. So if they have any feedback on our reports or, you know, I don't know, interactions with the office, they have a venue to do that. That concludes what I wanted to bring to you today. That is all the things that we have been working on in the last 6 months. And if you have any questions, I defer it back to the chair.
Please.
To the chair, to the director general. First, I'm looking at the six-month report that's tab 6, and I think I'm looking at this correctly, that there are three pending complaints for fiscal year 2015 and 7 for 16. Is that right?
There are, okay, it's pending.
Pending complaints?
Yes, sir, on the lower right, on that last page, there are three are pending.
But generally, where generally are those, and what's your goal in getting those done? What are those waiting for?
Here's what you, through the chair, what I'd like to share is when we receive a complaint, and it is outlined, the complaint process is outlined in our annual report. When we get a complaint, the complaint, because of our case management system, is assigned a number. And when we convert it to an investigation, it remains open. So there, I know one of these is an active investigation. The others, I believe, relate to contract, and I've had the flux of contract, and I haven't fully vetted them out. So it's a little misleading. It just means that some are already in progress and attached to an investigation. So 19 of the investigations have at least 19 of the body that's over here on the right, because I can't close them out, because the administrative action that once the investigation completed is captured under this other document, which is our intake, which we call our yellow folders. So that is why there are some that are tied together. So 19 of these are tied to the investigations at least. And in some cases, some of the intake, there might be one or two or three. As an example, in the animal case that we issued this past summer, we had, I think, 13 individual intake complaints. So we cannot close those out until the investigation is closed. And that is because I have to respond to every complaint, and if I have a name, after it's done, and we have to leave it open to capture all the results.
When do you expect, for example, to have the open investigations of 15 and 16 complaints?
We're working on them right now. I can tell you that we're trying to do everything. I can't articulate specifically, but I can tell you that one I know will be, in fact, closed before the end of the fiscal year. However, when we get something like, it's all in the public, everyone knows, we're working on the Jacksonville Housing Authority. Myself and two other and a fourth person are working on the investigation. That's almost half of my office. That's a high priority, and so I have to let things have to wait. So our goal is to get everything in the rears, you know. My goal would be to get 2015 closed up by the end of this fiscal year for sure, and try to strive also for 2016 as well. They're open investigation on, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No more questions. That closes out on item B. Now we'll look at the proposed budget for 2020.
If you go to tab under tab 1 at 2C, this is a summary. One there. This is a summary of the roll-up that we will be presenting to the office. We have no enhancements this year. The revenue will stay the same because we have an agreement in place with the independents, and that is in the budget section at tab 5. There's a copy of the independent agreements at tab 5 under budget.
And just a second, Ms. Green. Someone join us, please, sir. Can you introduce yourself?
Didn't want to interrupt the meeting. My name is Daniel Henry, and I'm the vice chair of the True Commission. The chair couldn't be here today, so I'm standing
okay.
Instead.
Thank you for being here. All right, Ms. Green, back to you.
In the items that are listed there in the body, what I want to point out is that the salaries, there is a change in salaries, and I want to explain why that it's 4.6 and not 4.5. And that is because when we reorganized this past year, prior to the fiscal year starting, we had different positions. We downgraded the deputy to the director of investigation. So this 680 is just what was approved when Mr. Hoffman was here. But right now, this figure in what is proposed is a 4.6 increase. It includes the actual salary base that we have today with a 4.5% plus my $10,000, because that was also part of my contract. So that is an accurate reflection of the salaries that we anticipate, which is an increase of $31,000 roughly. The other costs below that, with the exception of the operating costs, are all non-discretionary. Don't really have control over those, so we'll have to wait to see what the budget is. Those are populated by the budget office. Regarding the other operating discretionary items, so things like dues and subscriptions and training and supplies, we're only seeing a small increase, probably about $150. And that is based on our best on what we projected for this new year. So in essence, we really are not changing any of the budgetary requirements. The biggest increase is going to be in the mandatory salary increase, which is effective October of this year. We do have 9 authorized positions. We are not asking for any changes, and we don't envision any additions at this time. The overall increase to the budget from last year is 3.2%, is our best get based on the figures of the non-discretionary, because we don't have those before us. The budget office provides those to us at a later date.
Okay, any questions on the proposed budget?
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Maybe Mr. Musa can help me with this. I'm just new to this budgetary process, but it seems like based on the current staffing of the office, we're at 4 years or something to resolve investigations, so we have complaints spending that long. Does that mean that you need more people?
I think right now we've had an influx of staff. I would like to see a consistency in the staff. I'd like to see how much we can accomplish in the next year moving forward in a complete year cycle. We do have a very large jurisdiction. If we start seeing an increase when we get the other independents on board and we're seeing an influx, then we may have to have that conversation. I think right now, I think what's important to note, Mr. Rogan, is that you probably are not aware when the doors opened, we had no staff. When I showed up, and before the end of the first year I was here, we had 100 complaints. So we have always been behind. And so we've been trying to get caught up as quickly and swiftly as we can. I think at some point down the road, I think it might make sense to expand, but I think right now we really need to get a grip on what we have and get things closed out and see how the 2 new staff with the audit and the contract, see how that fits, develop the relationships in a codified way with the independents, and when we see the volume. We are getting a lot of stuff coming through JEA. I'm not sure we're going to get the same amount, but we'll work on that. We'll see for the other independents. So I think a lot of it's going to depend on the volume that we're getting. So when we start to get those solid relationships down on paper from a process standpoint.
So if I could follow up, and just to make sure I understand. So your thinking is that it's not really necessarily an understaffing problem. It's just catching up with the arrears that have been pending for the whole time in the office.
I would like to catch up with the arrears first before we make some decisions on expanding the office.
Personnel. So we're hoping with the screening that consistent staffing and
very good.
And we appreciate the effort that you and your staff have put together. We've been in this 5 years, and we've been in the so just an indication of but we'll always keep in mind, we'll treat her just like we treat any of our other departments. We believe there is an enhancement need, and we'll take it under consideration.
And Ms. Green, you're almost approaching our longest serving
IG
executive director. So,
and I'm the legacy person with the agency as well.
But that's a great question, Mr. Rogan. Thank you. All right. Yes, sir.
Hey, I just had one question for you, because I know this subject came up at our March Drew Commission meeting. The open contract specialist position, I think we were told that you were in the process of hiring someone and you hope to bring them on by May, and I just was curious to see if that's still the case.
I was absent that meeting due to illness, and what I can tell you is we hired, and we do have one, in fact, on board, and she started 2 weeks ago.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Let's move to the next item, which is item D, which is action required, Directive 2019-001. I would, if you can direct me to where I'm supposed to be in my book.
That will be, that's going to be two, D.
Okay,
tab
I'm
one,
with
D2.
You. Thank you. Made it too easy. You made it match the agenda, so.
We tried.
All right.
That's okay.
Please, go ahead.
What we'd like to do here is codify the requirement that it under the ordinance, the city ordinance at 50.110B, all committees are required to file an annual report. So if you turn to tab seven is a example of the report we were required to do by ordinance last year, because we are on the list to do one of these annual reports. So we issued the annual report with the help of Judge Centerfit, who was the chair at the time. And if you turn behind that sample letter, we'll see the ordinance code that requires it. And if you look at the second page of the ordinance code, it says Inspector General Selection Retention Committee. So what we want to do is what you may or may not be aware of, the IG Selection Retention Committee has its own set of directives. There's just a few. And as things come up, we codify them. And so those complete directives are found at Resource Tab 2. So things that we've done in the past, which like the last one we did was enhancing the roles and responsibility and making sure that we present before the committee the April budget. The budget in April. That's exactly what we're trying to do with this, that we codify that there is a requirement according to ordinance at this time, and that we just want to make sure that it's in there so that whomever is sitting in the chair position knows there is a requirement. And so we're looking to have you review this and vote on this as it's written or make changes as recommended. And we will go ahead and prepare the report the best of our ability, but we would want the chair's concurrence when it's due. Okay, I'm sorry, I misspoke. What I'm trying to say is in writing. Well, for the inspector, yes, get it in writing. I'm just saying put it in writing. We want to put this in writing. My apologies. Understood.
And you were reading my mind, Mr. Musa, so I think what you're saying is that if we approve this today, the action's complete. There's no other action required after that.
For this directive, yes, and
okay.
Then we would then therefore generate the memo that has to be signed by the chair.
Motion to adopt this directive?
Yes, sir.
The inspector general can direct to its staff.
No, sir, this is specific to the actual duties and functions of the inspector general and selection retention. For us to summarize that. Oh, I will do it for you. We'll
Yes, this would be a direction that the Office of Inspector General shall draft an annual report for this committee and send it to the chairperson not later than June 15th of each year.
Isn't that already in the ordinance code?
No, this is the actual committee.
The ordinance code that you do.
A committee annual report.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we approve the Directive 001 issuance of annual report. We'll move on now to Section E, and I just found it's under Tab 2E. Approval of update on Directive 2015-002. So, Ms. Green, over to you.
Down at the bottom, you'll see what we're recommending. When this was originally created by the Inspector General Advisor back in the origination, the way it was written under down at the very bottom, under procedures, item 2, six-month status briefing, it says following the six-month status briefing to the council, we would then give a status update to the committee. We have been in practice giving it to the committee first and then to the city council, and I just wanted it to read, the Inspector General will provide a six-month status update of activities to the committee and the city council, and leave it at that. Because the way it reads, we're not in practice, we're not doing that.
Chairman, I move the revisions to Directive 2015.
Motion and a second. Just real quickly before. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. You're batting 100,000 right now. So with that, we have approved the update directive 2015-002. On to item F, 2F, discussion of Inspector General performance evaluation process. All right, Ms. Green, over to you.
Okay, that's under 2F, and what I want you to first see is that the very first document.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
may
Mr.
Go back to this slide?
Yes, please. We will.
Yes, sir. There were no revision dates, sir, when it was done. We have been putting revisions. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Mr. Musa. All right, back to you on item F.
So back in May of 2016, this document was created by the Inspector General Advisor, and this was right before the departure of Tom Klein. It was created, it has never been reviewed by any committee, and it doesn't even have a rubric, so we don't know what the measuring scale is. So this is the first document under this tab is the way it reads now, and this was what was attached. And it's basically what's expected. There has not been one IG that's been held to this yet. So in reading and preparing for this meeting, the second document has got some edits, because in reading it, a lot of it, some of it was duplicative, some of it didn't make sense. So we tried to make it manageable so that it could still apply. I know it looks a little chaotic, and I do have a clean copy that I can read. I think the key thing here is that there is no process in place whereby the IG is actually the process of actually conducting an annual evaluation. My recommendation is that, and I think we have to decide if this is a lot of information. This is probably the piece that's going to take a little bit of work. But this piece needs edit and reviews. I need some concurrence or whatever recommendations you have. I don't think that aligning an annual evaluation outside of something in the fall after we issue the annual report would be the right thing to do. Right now, I'm due for an annual evaluation in June 19th. But but if you read the body of this, the majority of these items are what is issued and taken care of in the annual report. So my recommendation is that any annual report annual evaluation be done at the November meeting, either subsequent to or after, but after the office has had an opportunity to put together, because what's being asked of this of me is everything I do for an annual report, and I will. I'd like to have it all presented at one time. Not only that, there is no rubric. There's no definition on what's suitable, what's passing, what's failing. How are you going to grade? I have no idea what criteria I'm being evaluated on. That's never. I know you do. I know you do. So I would like to see that taken care of as well. Also, I think there needs to be an understanding about what is expected of me as far as how am I going to be evaluated. Am I going to use the annual report and cover most of these measures, and then am I going to do a supplemental report and give a briefing like I'm doing now? I think there's still some things that have to be resolved with that. And finally, I'd like to see the process written down in a directive so that any person coming into this committee knows what the process is. So for succession planning, we know what the process is and what we think is the right thing to do, because there is nothing written anywhere about how to do the process.
So that leads me to a question, and I think I'm one of the junior persons on this board. So how have our previous IGs been evaluated? Who does it? And is there any history there, or have we just not done one? Does anybody know?
The evaluation is to be done by the committee.
Okay.
It's to be done annually according to what we have. No one has ever been evaluated because no one stayed long enough to have an evaluation.
Yes, Mr. Musso.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Green, do you know who created this
arrangement? Cheryl Steckler. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that was in the haste when we were having... It was not really in the startup. It was in the ending phase of when Mr. Klein was on his way out. It was created short order before he left.
And I believe I understand now why this was created shortly before he left.
Yes, sir.
This was not going to be a good evaluation.
I think they needed a measure and they didn't have one, and it was created. I'm just making some recommendation. It doesn't need to be the only recommendations, but I think there were some things that were duplicated, some things that are unnecessary, some things that really don't apply to our operations. But I think that it really needs to be reviewed, and a process needs to be established.
I understand what you said earlier. You feel that your performance is indicative of what your annual production is and what you've done throughout the year. So we should. Evaluate you after the annual report. It gives us some ideas to what happened, and some of those annual report items are outlining your performance.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
When's the annual report actually issued? Is it by November 15th?
No, sir, by the end of the calendar year. So my goal moving forward would be that it would be presented to the committee in November. And it's going to be then, of course, everything up to the end of September.
My suggestion then maybe to the chair of the committee is maybe this does make sense to be a mid-year review, because that gives some time to actually digest the prior year's annual report and to plug it into a rubric or whatever system we're going to have to actually create an evaluation. But otherwise, if the annual report is due at year end, but it's presented to us on the day that we're supposed to consider an evaluation, I don't know that there's any time to even read the annual report, let alone try to apply it to some rubric.
I guess I'm struggling too on that. You're proposing we do a meeting in November. This kind of puts us in a position to make a decision today.
I'm saying that what I'm proposing is that we just need to think about the process, but we need to use, I think, the benchmark of an annual report. And if you're doing annual evaluation on me, my contract is June to June, so you can do it whatever way you like. But my thought process is that the evaluation, so many of these measures are recorded in the annual report. So if you wanted to do it mid-year, that's fine. But I think when you look long-term, you're going to we just need to have an established process so that when someone moving forward, I don't know what their contract's going to be, whether it's going to be mine continuing on or what it looks like. So maybe it, to your point, Mr. Rogan, through the chair, that maybe having the annual review and, you know, the annual report and then maybe setting another meeting. I just was trying to figure out a way not to have you to have too many meetings, and maybe it requires its own meeting. I mean, I have no problem with that, but it's not been thought through. No, there's no concept yet.
That in future years, could we do that at this meeting? Could the April meeting double as the review meeting for the prior year?
I personally don't see why not. I don't see that performance is going to change significantly.
So by the end of the calendar year, the Inspector General would present the annual report, and then in April, we would consider the annual evaluation, which would lead right up into the contract at June.
And I think we can always have ad hoc meetings if needed. But I'm, like many of us around this table, I got plenty of meetings to do, and I'd like to not schedule another meeting. So I does that sound like a suitable well, that would be in the future. So I guess the question is, how do we handle this year?
I do think it's important that I know what the rubric is. I have no idea how I'm being measured, other than the fact that there's these items here. I don't know what you're going to deem. I have no idea how you're rating me. I think that's important for any IG to understand.
It is, but I will tell you, I'm certainly not in a position I'd feel comfortable making that decision right now.
No, I don't expect. I didn't
so
expect that.
Need time to digest this, so. But to your point, I don't think waiting till next April to.
No, I think we could certainly do one in June, and then maybe we just have one special meeting.
Okay.
And then, moving forward, we would do it at the April meeting. It just makes a little longer meeting. With our add that to our regular agenda meeting, which is a review of the budget. And if that's the case, then what we could simply do is update the directive that requires us to meet in April to present the budget, and just add that at that time, an evaluation of the Inspector General will be added and incorporated, and then so we could redraft that and make that change. And, you know, we could do that for April, or, you know, get that done. Does it make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, please.
Suggestion for this year, so that we can do something. Maybe we take the recommendations of the Inspector General here on this performance evaluation template, adopt them just for this year, so she knows how she's going to be evaluated. Meet again in June, pursuant to this rubric, and then we can talk at our November meeting about what the future rubric is going to look like.
That's a good compromise, because knowing Ms. Green, I doubt she would try to slip something in on us on that. So I'm comfortable with that, but certainly other members want to comment on that?
I'm not comfortable with that. Okay. I have not had a chance to look through the red lines to the degree I would want to before voting on it. I mean, I could do that relatively quickly, but I have not done that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I don't have an opinion one way or another. I'll go with where the committee is going. But at least from my perspective, is what I'm hearing from Inspector Green, is she just wants to make sure, at least from my perspective, that she has some weather of knowing how she's going to be graded, because right now she's kind of working in limbo. So whether we decide to do it at this meeting or at a future meeting, I think would give her some confidence of knowing as to how she's going to be graded in her contract renewal.
Well, how about we do something in between? I'm certainly amenable to having a May meeting where the only topic is we have time to review this, vote on it, and then we'll meet again in June to get this cycle done, and then on we'll move to the April cycle. Does that, everybody follow me on that?
Yes.
Can you all support a 30-minute May meeting? Why don't we do that, Ms. Green? Can you send this electronically to us all, please?
Yes, sir.
Yes, before and after. And then if you can work with a date sometime in the May time frame to schedule another meeting. Okay.
Idea right now on your calendar, does anybody have any week that's better than another?
Not that week?
Not that week.
I'm out the weeks before and after that, but I can appoint a designee if I need to. The week of the 7th is fine for me, but that's kind of a little bit close.
The week of the 13th, is there any availability the week of the 13th?
Without Carol being here, I'm afraid to speak on my calendar. I will tell you that the week, if I was to give you an answer, the week of 13 looks okay, but I'll probably get beat up for saying that. So why don't we just work it next week sometime or the end of this week to start trying to target a date.
I'm not bad that week.
Not that bad that week?
Okay.
I can't do that week, but I can appoint.
Well, maybe we can, but maybe we'll. A couple of dates. So, Sheriff, may I ask? I heard you say that we would want to have a meeting to decide on the final language of the evaluation and projecting, but also maybe some kind of a rating scale so we know what's acceptable to the committee versus what's not acceptable. And also the methodology on what we're using, because some of the material in here is not all-encompassing in the annual report, so I need to know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I don't really want to wait short-term. So I guess we're going to talk about that as well. Like, will I be supplementing it to help answer, or do you need just maybe generalizations of each category? Just trying to...
No, I think since you're in the job, you best know what you do, and... I think recommendations are appreciated. Unfortunately, within the sunshine, we can't talk about what we think. So I think what I would like to see is if you send these out to us, these electronic copy, as long with some recommendations, then if the board members can give a response back to you, so when we walk in the door on the day of that meeting, we've got inputs already from all of us, and I think it will make the decision process go a little quicker. Does that work for everyone?
Works perfect, so long as the board members understand to only respond to you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no reply only. Yeah,
you can't share any of that with... I can't come to you and say, what did Mr. Moose say?
Oh, I'm going to do that right away.
That's right.
And I understand, too, that then we would have a June well, so maybe we can try to coordinate both the meetings at the same time when we're sending out the initial May. That way we can get those locked in for an evaluation. And what I'd like to do, too, then, is at the May meeting, I will present an updated directive of one that already exists when we talk about what's going on in the April meeting, that we interject that in there moving forward for 2020. So we'll get that in there as well.
I will tell you my June is a train wreck, but...
So,
yes, Mr. Musa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Please, I want to make sure I understand something here. You took the existing performance evaluation template and you marked it up in red lines.
still not satisfied with the red lines, or if we adopted the red lines, you're good?
I would like to have the red lines adopted so it would eliminate some, through the chair, eliminate some duplicity and also make it more in line. Yes, the thing that I most want to know is, out of the rate of 100, what's acceptable? What range are you? Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. You know what I'm saying.
Agreed. Definitely.
What's the big deal?
What's the big deal? Yeah. No. If there's something, and I would like to ask if there's something that you don't understand about each of the things, ask me. Please ask me, because I think I know how to answer a majority of this material.
Thank you. All right. Anything else on item F?
Let's see.
Okay. With that, do we have any comments from the public? Seeing none, do we have any further comments from any of the board members? Yes, sir.
I think at the beginning you asked the question whether you wanted the board to allow you to keep these up or us to have them and us keep our own up.
Chair, my question to you is, if you feel it's valuable to keep this, to review it and bring it to each meeting, we can update them and move, because the tab 8, which we didn't discuss, tab 8 is where you will take the first item back. We're happy to do the manual part, but I can't get you to bring your book if you forget. But I don't know. I think there's some value just for some members that they may want to look what's in here. So whatever you prefer, I just want to make it available, whatever option you think is best for you.
Coming forward too.
Ms. Taylor.
And through the chair, could I just echo Mr. Moose's comments and thank you for preparing these? I've not been to one of these before, but this was
very,
well done.
Very good work. Very good.
Absolutely.
Work.
Yes, sir. You hadn't gotten a copy, hard copy. Thank you. I thought it was really valuable to have, so we can answer questions and everything's at the ready.
All right. With that, anything else? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to commend Inspector Green for sending your staff to our true commission meetings. We really appreciate that, particularly the overview that we got of your report. That was really insightful for us to know the context of some of the investigations that are going on. So I just want to appreciate that.
Through the chair, I do want to apologize. I was very sick and I wasn't able to attend, and I would have liked to be there, and I would welcome another invitation.
Well, and I, too, I'll echo certainly I've got nothing from any council member that your office has not done anything but fully support them. And I know every time I've asked, been immediate response, so appreciate that as well. And thank you for being here the longest of any IG. I think we do. I feel very comfortable with where we're going. Anything else from the members? Thank you for putting this all together. I agree, great book and a good meeting. And with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you.